your hand, and one of our good-looking ushers would love to give one to you. It can be a gift if you want to take it home, or you can leave it on your chair if you just need to borrow it for the morning. Romans is the sixth book in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. It's a long book, so I hope you can find it. And I want you to turn there, and we're going to jump into this new series. It's called 2020 Vision. And that 2020, of course, is a play on words. It's the new year of 2020. And it's also the fact that I want to have 2020 vision. I want to see clearly. I want to see clearly what God's saying to me this year and in my life. And I trust you do as well. And so I'm going to kind of give you an overview a little bit this morning, give you an idea how we're going to tackle this letter. It's a long letter, I know that, and it'll take us a bit of time to get through it, but I'm excited. This is going to be a great, great series, and I can't wait to jump into it, and we're going to look a little deeper in chapter 1 next Sunday, but today I want to give you an overview, and I'm going to ask John Montanez is going to read our text. Let's all stand together this morning. We're going to read the first 7 verses of the letter to Romans. And out of respect for God's word, we want to stand when it's being read to us. And John, I'm happy you're going to be our reader this morning. Yeah. I've got it right here if you need it. Okay. First 7 verses. Yeah.
Thank you. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who, as to his earthly life, was a descendant of David, who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Father, we pray that as we begin this series, we begin this letter, Lord, that it would be a life-changing time, that you'd speak to our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. You may be seated this morning. We need to just begin this morning. Today I want to kind of give you an overview and ask a question. You know, the very first, keep your Bibles open, please, Romans 1. But the very first word of Romans 1 is what? Paul, okay. Who is Paul? Let's start right there, okay. Some of you aren't sure where I'm going. Okay, the first word of Romans 1:1 is Paul. Who is Paul? You probably heard that name before. If you've been around churches, obviously you've heard that name. But it's maybe somewhat of a mystery. I don't know about you, but when you get an email or you get a text, or do you remember those days we used to send letters to people? Do you remember those days? Way back when. The first thing you do, well, who is it from, right? If I get a text, that's the question. Who's this from? If I get a call, if I get an email, who's it from? And so as we jump into this letter this morning, the first thing we want to take a little bit of time today to kind of set the stage is say, well, who is this guy? Paul, you know, what do we know about him? Why is he important? But let me say this right off the bat. It's no exaggeration. I'm not exaggerating here when I say he, other than Jesus Christ, is the most important man in the whole New Testament. In fact, maybe the most important man in all of modern history, other than Jesus Christ. I mean, you can't really overemphasize how important the Apostle Paul was to the New Testament, and how important he is to the fact that we are here today. In fact, I would say this, I'll say it again later, we wouldn't be here today if the Apostle Paul didn't live and didn't do what God called him to do. We wouldn't be here. And so he's a very important guy. Now, he was earlier known as a Pharisee named Saul. So at some point, he changed his name from Saul to Paul. He was a Pharisee. He was a Jewish leader. And after Jesus died, resurrected, and the church began to grow slowly out of Jerusalem, Paul was so zealous for his faith and so zealous as a Pharisee that he began to persecute the early church. And he began to throw people in jail. And he began to, because he was so strong in his faith and he thought that followers of Jesus were on the wrong track, and he began to throw them into jail. So he was known, he was feared, he was an intimidating man in a lot of different ways. But aren't you thankful that in Acts chapter 9, he had a miraculous conversion? And I want to read that to you in case you're not familiar with the story. I'll put the text on the screen. Acts chapter 9 says this. Meanwhile, Saul, so his name at this point was Saul. Saul was still breathing out murderous threats. Boy, that's a descriptive phrase. Against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if they found any there who belonged to the way or the followers of Jesus, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Now think about that. Think about if there was a man out in our parking lot today watching who was coming in, and he had the authority to say, you know what, I've got the authority to throw you into jail. I've got the authority, whether you're man or woman, to take you to Jerusalem and throw you to jail. I'm not sure what that would do to our church attendance. I hope it wouldn't, destroy it too badly, but that's what they were living in. Verse 3, as he neared Damascus on his journey, listen, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. No kidding. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, and when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Now, we'll talk a bit more about a story in a moment. But isn't that a wonderful, dramatic conversion? Here he is. He's out hunting down followers of Jesus, throwing them in jail. And one day, Jesus himself shows up and says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Wow, what a conversion story. Now, there's a lot we can say about Saul, but this morning, I want to give you three things. So write this down. You've got your notes open and ready. The first fill-in that you want to know about Paul is that Paul was a letter writer. Paul was a letter writer, okay? He wrote almost half of the New Testament. In fact, there's 27 books in the New Testament. Paul wrote 13 of them. Think about that. Almost half of the books in the New Testament were written by Paul, and he wrote this letter to Romans in about 54 to 58, right in that time frame, probably from Corinth. And so he was a letter writer. He was, again, in that day, they wrote letters all the time. That's the way they communicated. For us, it's hard to imagine perhaps a day before, cell phones or a day before email or Facebook or the different ways we could communicate. And Paul was a letter writer. And these letters always had a pattern. You may have noticed when John read our text this morning, 1:1, verse chapter 1, verse 1 says, he introduces himself. He says, Paul. He waits all the way till verse 7, and he says, kind of the to and the from, to all who are in Rome. So those first seven verses, he kind of just introduces himself and talks about, some things he's going to talk about in the letter. And then in verse 7, to all in Rome, the greeting, grace and peace to you from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul, in these first seven verses that we heard this morning, it's kind of like when we get a letter, it says, from so-and-so to so-and-so, hey, I hope you're having a good day, or however you open your letters. That's how what Paul does in these first seven verses. Now, Rome was not a church that Paul started. In fact, he'd never been to Rome before. I've got a map I want to show you very quickly, because I know some of you are going to just kind of roll your eyes back in your head when you look at a map. You think it's high school history class again. But I want to just show you very clearly. If you look on the very this side of the map, you see in the bottom right-hand corner, Jerusalem. Okay, you may not be able to read it, but Jerusalem is there. And the green line goes all the way over to Rome. Do you follow the green line? Yeah. Say yes if you do. Yes. Okay. And so the church started in Jerusalem. The church Paul was writing to, of course, was in Rome. Paul had never been to Rome, but his plan was this. You see, all the other lines are in what is modern-day Turkey and Greece. Paul traveled all throughout that area and had planted churches. Now God was calling him to a new field. He felt that God wanted him to go to Spain. I'd like to go to Spain. I'd like God to call me to Spain. But Paul thought, I need to go to the west. I need to go. And as far west as they could think of was Spain. Now, Spain's not on the map. Spain's too far off the map. But Paul thought, I will go to Rome, and there's a good church in Rome. That'll be kind of be my launching point into Spain. Okay, so Paul thought, I'm going to go to Rome. There's a church there. I'll have them pray with me and support me, because Paul was all about going to places no one else had ever been with the gospel. Paul was an entrepreneur. Paul wanted to go and build churches and plant churches where no one else had gone. So his thinking was this: I'm going to write a letter to Rome. I'm going to introduce myself to them. I'm going to, I'm going to share the gospel with them. Then I'll go to Rome, and then from Rome I'll go even further west. I'm going to go off the map to Spain and spread the gospel. Now, the sad news is Paul never made it to Spain. He did go to Rome, and that's where he died, but that was kind of his plan. So he wrote this letter to Rome, the Romans. Even though he'd never met them, he kind of wanted to introduce himself and kind of share his vision for going even further west. Are you with me so far? Okay, that's the last map I'm going to show you. You can take that off the screen. All right. But in case you're interested, there's a lot of good stuff there. Now, it's not an exaggeration to say that Romans is the most important letter ever written. I mean, if you know anything about Romans, it's filled with doctrine and truth and teaching. In fact, it's kind of intimidating for me as a pastor to stand and to think, we're going to preach and teach through Romans because it is such a wonderful book. It is so deep and so filled with truth and so filled with marvelous insight. And it's not an exaggeration to say that, you know, it's the most important letter ever written. Some people call it the gospel according to Paul. Now, it doesn't mean that Paul wrote a new gospel. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Paul came along and wrote the same thing. No, the gospel according to Paul simply means that the gospels tell the story of the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Paul comes along and says, okay, we know that. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John have been written. I'm going to tell you now what that means to us, how it applies to our life. Now that we know what the gospel is, the facts of the story, now this is what it's going to mean in your daily life. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful letter, and I'm going to encourage you, and I'll talk about this in a moment, I'm going to encourage you to read it. I'm going to encourage you to jump into it. I'm going to encourage you week by week to read the text before we get here on Sunday and to walk through it with me. In fact, one of my favorite authors, John R.W. Stott, said this, that Romans is the fullest, plainest, and grandest statement of the gospel in the New Testament. Now, it's an intimidating letter. If you flip through your Bible, you know, man, this is long. It's 16 chapters long. And you say, Pastor, are we going to be in Romans for the next 4 years? Well, probably not 4 years, okay? It's not going to take us that long. But it's that old saying, how do you eat an elephant? You know how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And we're going to just kind of jump into Romans. And I like to kind of have it all planned out. I'll be honest, I don't have it all planned out. I've got it planned out till Easter. We're going to kind of go through, and probably take, a chapter every couple weeks, and we'll get to Easter, and then we'll see where we are, and we'll probably go into summer. We'll take a break and see where we're. But I believe that we're going to just jump into this book and read it, and God's going to help us. So I want everyone to raise your right hand and repeat after me, I promise to be here every Sunday for the next 4 years. Okay, you know I'm joking, don't you? Okay. But if you ever miss a Sunday, you can go on Facebook and check it out. So we're going to be working on this together. It's going to be a wonderful experience. Number two, so Paul also was not only a letter writer, but Paul was a missionary with a pastor's heart. Paul had the heart of a pastor. He didn't write this as a seminary textbook. He didn't write this as a theology book. He wrote this from a pastor's heart. He was a missionary. He was an entrepreneur. He wanted to go where churches hadn't been planted yet and plant a church and preach the gospel. And it's very important to understand that when Jesus ascended to heaven, the footprint of the church was very small. All the believers were in Jerusalem. If you think about Acts chapter 2, there was 120 of them, which is pretty good, but they're all in the upper room, and that was it. There was a small little group of folks. Jesus was crucified in Jerusalem. His followers were concentrated in Jerusalem. And so it was all about Jerusalem. But when Paul was converted, the part I didn't read from Acts 9, I'll read here in a moment. When Paul was converted, he was given a special task. And it was this. Well, let me back up. When Paul was converted, he was brought to Ananias. And Ananias was afraid. He thought, he heard the rumors that Saul had been saved and Saul was a new man, but that would be like saying, here's a former ISIS general that's been saved. I want you to take him into your church. You'd say, well, I'm not sure if he's really saved or if this is a trick. I'm not sure if he's just going to come in here and scout out what's going on so we can arrest even more of us. And so Ananias was afraid. He said, Lord, I don't want to bring this former enemy into my family, into my church. It may be a trick. It may be a way of him getting inside the church. And so he was afraid. And so God was very clear with Paul. And Acts chapter 9, verse 15 said this, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man, Paul, is my chosen instrument, listen, to proclaim my name to the Gentiles. You see, God said about Paul, Paul, I've got a special job for you. Remember, the whole church was in Jerusalem. Everyone in the church was Jewish, and God said, Paul, I've saved you miraculously. You've got a job that no one else has. Paul, I want you to be the preacher to the Gentiles. I want you to proclaim my name to the Gentiles, which leads me to point number three. I want you to get this. Here's the word picture we want to think about, that Paul was a bridge. Paul was a bridge. The reason why he was so important, he was a bridge. What do I mean by that? Well, listen carefully. Again, I said it before, I'll say it again. We would not be here if not for the ministry and life of the Apostle Paul. We would not be here because most, if not all of us, are not Jewish. Most, if not all of us, are Gentiles. Most, if not all of us, would never have heard the gospel if someone like Paul wouldn't have taken the step to get out of the Jewish island and come across and be a bridge to the Gentile world. We wouldn't be here. And so the Apostle Paul was so important because he took the gospel from a small Jewish group of people and said, you know what, God, you've called me, you miraculously saved me, you converted me, and you sent me to Ananias, and you've given me a task to be the preacher and to be the one that's going to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. You see, Christianity had a problem. At the very beginning, there was a problem, and the problem was simply this. Everyone was Jewish, and the Jewish people hated the Gentile people, and the Gentile people hated the Jewish people. Let me say something. Anti-Semitism is nothing new. It's been happening all throughout history. We heard it in the news this week. I mean, it's a current thing, right? But even in their day, it was a big deal. And so the Gentiles looked at Christianity as a Jewish, you know, thing. They didn't care about it. And in those days, the Gentiles were, the Jews felt very badly about the Gentiles. They said things like this. The Gentiles were chosen by God to be the fuel for the fires of hell. Wow, that's not very nice. they were not even allowed to help a Gentile woman in childbirth because if they did, it would just bring another Gentile into this world. And the feeling went the same way the other direction. The Gentiles hated the Jews. So here's the problem. How is the gospel going to reach out from this small Jewish group of folks in Jerusalem, 120 in number? How is it going to get off this Jewish island to the rest of the world where you and I and most of the world lives? Well, it's going to take a man. It's going to take a bridge. And that bridge was the Apostle Paul. You see, the gospel was for everybody. One of the most famous verses in Scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved who? The world. Not just the Jews. God so loved the world. Jesus said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to me. The Great Commission of Matthew says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So that was the mandate, but the problem was, how would they do it? Because they're stuck on this Jewish island with no way to get off until God called this man, the Apostle Paul, and said, Paul, I've got a job for you. I'm going to change your name from Saul to Paul. You're going to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. You're going to go all over the place and plant churches. And that's why we are here today, because he was obedient to the call of God. How would Christianity get off this island of Judaism? God needed a bridge, and that bridge was the Apostle Paul. Now listen, he was uniquely qualified to do this. Now, I don't have time. There's so much more I could say here, but I want to read you the scripture, because in Philippians chapter 3, Paul talks about his Jewishness, okay? And he says, if anyone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, I was faultless. What's Paul doing there? Paul was saying, if anybody would win the prize for being the best Jewish follower, it was me. He said, I had it nailed. I was born in the right family. I went to the right schools. I had the right income. I had the right, you know, lineage. Everything was great. I was a Pharisee. He had it all. So when he was converted, he was the perfect man to be the bridge to the Gentile world because he was a Jew and he loved the Jews, and he was a Roman citizen. So now he could travel everywhere and preach the gospel, and he was uniquely qualified to have been a Jewish Pharisee and now a Roman citizen, and he could bring the gospel all around the world. So he traveled and he preached and he wrote letters and he went to prison bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. Isn't that great? And so as you read the letter of Romans, we're reading the letter of a man who God called to bring the gospel to us. God called to bring the gospel to be a bridge off the Jewish island to the rest of the world. And that is us. Now, I've used the word gospel a lot this morning, and we'll read it a lot in Romans. In fact, next Sunday, we're going to kind of come back and look at it a little bit more. But you might remember when John read our text this morning, he read a couple times the word gospel. Let me close by just talking a moment about the gospel. What is the gospel? You know, we hear that word a lot. Well, it comes from a Greek word which literally means good news. Good news. How do you know the gospel is good news this morning? Amen. It's good news. The gospel according to Paul. Paul tells us the good news about Jesus. The gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The good news about Jesus. Not just good news, the best news. Good news that's meant to be shared. How do you know we need a little bit more good news in our world, in our lives? The gospel is the best news ever. And so we talk about having this 2020 vision this year of seeing life clearly. And we just need to hear from God's word, let it speak to our hearts. And so very quickly, two things I want to say about the gospel from our text this morning. Chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the gospel is from God. You see, this is not something that Paul made up. As Paul writes to the Roman church, he tells them about who God is and what sin is and the wrath of God and the love of God and the Spirit of God. This is not something Paul just made up. Now, he was an educated man, but he didn't just make this stuff up. The gospel came to him from God himself. And we've got confidence in that. And as we come to the building of the church on Sunday, I want you to know you're not just hearing something that I made up. I wouldn't want to hear what I made up. It's not worth listening to. That's why we have somebody come and read our text, and we have a text, and we stick to the text, hopefully, because I want you to see and understand that we're sharing what God's given us, and that's found right here in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. The gospel came from God. And secondly, Paul says in verse 2 that the gospel was promised beforehand. And that means this, the gospel's not God's plan B. You know, we all have plan A and plan B and sometimes plan C and plan D and plan E. Sometimes we think, well, the gospel is kind of God's plan B. Like, well, you know, the Old Testament didn't work out, so I guess I'll do something different in the New Testament. No, you might remember a few weeks ago in our big picture series, we talked about even at the fall of man, even when mankind fell, what did God say to the serpent? As he cursed the serpent, he said, you may bruise his heel, but he's going to what? He's going to crush your head. And that was a prophecy about Jesus coming. It was a prophecy of the gospel and Jesus coming to save us. And so as we think about that, even when mankind fell, God said, you know what? I've got a plan. I'm ready. Jesus is going to come and die for these folks. It's not plan B. God, aren't you thankful? And let's understand this as we step into this new year. Nothing that happens to you or I this year is going to catch God by surprise. Nothing that happened to you in 2019, God didn't say, oh, I didn't see that coming. I'm going to have to scramble and come up with something else. God doesn't have a plan B. God only has a plan A, and the gospel was God's plan A. God is in control. God is in charge. And as we stand here on this first Sunday of 2020, it's probably good that we remind ourselves, you know what? Nothing is going to happen this year that's going to surprise God. Nothing in my life, nothing in my family, nothing in my church. God is in control. And the gospel was planned beforehand. And we're going to see that unfolding as we go throughout this letter of Romans. Amen? Very quickly, take your notes and turn them over because I want to give you your homework for tonight, for this week. Are you ready? You didn't know you were having homework, did you? Listen, Romans is a long letter, but I want you to do two things this week. The first is to watch a video. How many say, I'm down for watching a video. I can do that. Okay. You see the address there. The Bible Project has a great overview video. It's about 7 minutes long of the first part of the book of Romans. I want you to watch that. And maybe sit down with your family and watch that. It's got great, if you've ever seen the Bible Project, it's a great, great site, great artwork. And so check that out. You see the address there. They also have another video for part two, which you might want to watch as well, but at least watch part one. And secondly, I want to give you the challenge to read the letter of Romans. Now, it's 16 chapters long. Take all week if you need to. Two chapters a day will get you there. And because I want you to begin to see where Paul is going and what the big picture is. Now, I know it's overwhelming. It's going to be like drinking from a fire hydrant. I get that, okay? You're not going to get it all figured out the first time you read it. But as you read it, maybe jot down some words that you see repeated. Underline, highlight, kind of mark something up so you can kind of get an idea of the flow of the letter. It breaks into four sections, chapters 1 through 4, and then 5 through 8, 9 through 11, and 12 through 16. But just kind of take time and read it, look it over, kind of get a feel for it. Next Sunday, we're going to look at the first part of chapter 1, and we're going to kind of just go through it. You'll have plenty of time to do that, but I want to just give you that challenge. Because here's what I want you to leave here today thinking and knowing. Are you ready? And then I'm done. God's word was written so you can read it, and so you can understand it. Not just for people that have gone to seminary, not just for people who can read Greek and Hebrew, not just for somebody else. God's word was written so you can read it and you can understand it. Now, you won't get everything the first time through. You can read Romans 1,000 times and always hear something new. That's true. But at the same time, I can say that any person who can read and God will speak to you. You may say, Pastor, English isn't even my first language. God can still speak to you. Read it in your language, whatever that is. Read it. Because listen, sometimes we get intimidated. We say, well, I can't understand it. I can't read it. You're not going to get everything, but you will get something. I guarantee that if you read the letter of Romans this week, you will be able to look me in the eye next Sunday and say, Pastor, God said something to me next Sunday. If he doesn't, I will give you your money back. Which you haven't given me any money in the first place, so we're even, okay? So check it out. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we?